Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for giving each one of us an opportunity to come to your house.
Subject here, the Lord laid on my heart.
Your word.
Something been Lord, we just ask that as we enter
the worship service this morning,
what we're going to be talking about as we read these scriptures, you think.
Today, Lord.
And what I'm dealing with is unbelief. I'm going to deal with a little unbelief, and I'm going
to
deal with why there is sometimes only few or no results.
There's a great host of
something that I've been looking at for a while because I believe that it is the power of God into salvation. And I do believe that when we try to go out on our own, there'll be no or few results.
Father, if there be one person here today,
so as we look at this in Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things, and what wisdom is this which is given unto him? What even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and of Joseph and of Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. Now this is the main point I want you to focus on right here, is the next two scriptures, 5 and 6. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. Right here in verses 5, it said, And he could there do no mighty work, save, which that means the word except that he laid his hands upon a few. Now he did do a little bit. He healed a few and a few sick, and he might have saved a few people. Said a few folk that healed them, and he marveled. Now, this is Jesus. Now, he's marveling because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. Now, if you would turn with me in Luke 9. Luke chapter 9. And like I said, what we're looking at, and if you think about this, we're dealing with a little unbelief, a little faithlessness, and I believe that to be the reason that there's little, if any, results today in our church houses and amongst our people because of the unbelief and the doubt and faithlessness. Now, what I want you to see here is in Luke 9, in verse 1. It says, Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now we see here in verse 9 that he gave them the power. I said a while ago, it's the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. And it is the power. We know that it says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So now what I want you to look at is unbelief, doubting, the results of why we have no results might be in a lot of times in churches and in meetings and stuff. Now turn over here and look at verse 40. What happened, what I want to talk about is what happened between verse 1 of Luke 9 and verse 40. What happened? Because it said he gave them power over all the devils and to cure the diseases. They had the power of God on them at that time, you might say. Then it says in 40, And I besought the disciples to cast him out. This was a man that had brought his son with the unclean spirit to the disciples, so that they could pray over him and whatever they did in that day and cast out the unclean spirit, because they believed that they had heard that they had power of God and that they was with God and they knew God, knew Jesus. And it says, And I besought the disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And they could not. Now, I want us to see why. Something that, you know, there's been times in like today when I was called in very short notice, was asked to preach. And of course, I'll be honest, I'm excited about preaching. I love, since God's called me to preach, I love to preach more than I would to eat, even though you may not can tell it. But I do. I would rather preach than a steakhouse is eating a steakhouse. I would. And the thing is that there's times that if I'm not careful, I'll stray in my walk with Christ. And it don't take much of a little fire to kindle a whole lot. And see, if we're not careful, we'll lose that power that God gives to us. And a lot of people think, I can do it on my own, I can do it on my own. Well, that's why that you don't see much going on. You know, a ministry in itself is nothing without the man. Without the man. If you're going to pray, if someone says, I'm praying for your ministry, that's a good statement. But pray for me. Pray for Brother Darren. Pray for him as the under-shepherd of this church, because it ain't about the ministry, it's about the man. God's always looking for a man, and he's looking for belief and not doubting. And he's looking for people to keep the faith, and that's what we got to have. You know, all through the scripture, when people were healed and people were what we call saved and born again, he said, thy faith have made thee whole. It's thy faith that have made thee whole. Now, we know that faith, it says in that faith over in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, that word evidence would be like the convicting. You know, you're convicting on what you don't see and the things that you don't know about. But there's conviction in you knowing that what the Bible says. And you have to act on that. You have to believe that something's going to happen. You know, the scriptures all through it, it's about faith. It says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Who? God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, that reward can come through many ways. Now, I believe that for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it don't get, the people that think they can work for their salvation, they're dead wrong. And it's just like if I was going to take and give you my Bible today, and I wanted to give it to you as a gift, and you say, no, brother, let me give you $5. Let me give you a couple. You can't give me that Bible. And then I say, okay, give me $5 in there. There's the Bible. Knowing that that was a small token, the Bible's worth more than that, they go home and they tell their wife or whoever, hey, I got a Bible. Where'd you? I brought it from Brother Brent. See, and that's what we're looking at, is a lot of times we're wanting to do something. That's the reason a lot of people struggle with their salvation, is because it's by faith you come and you're distrusting Christ. You've heard the gospel, that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it's up to you to accept that by faith or not. And that's what a lot of times, hey, when you don't get saved, if there's anybody in here under my sound of my voice or on the internet that you don't know that you've been saved, it's nothing but pure unbelief. It's nothing. You might say, well, now, wait a minute, I do. No, God knows your heart. And it's unbelief. It's what's inside you. Do you believe that or not? We're supposed to have a childlike faith. Just like my boys. I could tell them the sky's yaller, and Chase would say, boy, it is, ain't it? See, he disbelieves me because I'm his daddy. And see, I got to believe once we're saved, that's how we're saved, by faith. Just trusting. If someone asks you, do you believe in heaven and hell? And you say yes. And they say, where are you going when you die? And you say heaven. And they say, why? If you tell them any other reason that I'm trusting Christ, I've accepted the blood of Jesus, then the answer is, you're wrong. You will not go. It says you must be born again of the Spirit. And that again, it takes faith to come to Christ. And he told Doubting Thomas, he said, blessed are those that have not seen but believe. Now, I know without a shadow of a doubt that nobody in here, unless the Lord gave you a vision, you've never seen the actual, we wasn't there at Calvary. Not the day that he hung on the cross. And I didn't see him bleed and die for my sins. But by faith, I reached out in faith when I was a 12-year-old boy. And then the hand of grace that God extended came down. We shook on it. We shook on it. Just like a lot of times, Brother John, you know the old timers, brother, use as good as your word. What? You shake on it. But see, and we know that God cannot lie. There is no sin in him, and he cannot lie. Now, when he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, it's a gift. It's a gift. You cannot do nothing. That's why you struggle sometimes, because in man's ways, in man's form, we want to see, have something. We want to say, hey, I paid a little price for this, because that's a little bit of the pride that's in us. The pride, the issues that we have, is we want to make known that we've done something for what we got. But see, this is grace. This is grace of God. This is getting something you did not deserve, which is mercy. And then this is an unmerited favor, which was grace extended to you. You don't have to work for this. You are extended that by faith, believing. Just simple faith. As you cross the bridge out here, later on when they get done with the bridge and they get it repaired, you and I will have to cross that bridge by faith, or we're going to have to get out and look at it and inspect it real good. It's one or the other. And if you cross it by thinking, Well, I believe they've done a good job. Then you trust it. And see, that's how we're going to get to heaven, is we're going to trust that Jesus, the bridge that was laid out at the cross at Calvary with three nails, two pieces of wood, that bridge, and you trust that that's what happened, that the blood that was shed on Calvary, that ran down Calvary's mountain, that you got under that fountain, and the blood was applied, and because by faith you believed he died on the cross, that on the third day he rose again, and that he lives, that they ever make intercession at the right hand of God, and you know that when you could pray, that you can come boldly. And see, there takes faith to believe in prayer. And Darren preached about that. He's preached about prayer. We have faith. That's how you're saved. It ain't about going underwater and being baptized, even though that's a commandment of God. It's not about having your name on a church roll. It's not all these things. So as we see that in our church houses, see, you got to figure. Now, here's a church, and I don't even know how many is in here today. And I cannot see. I'm afraid to say if a light would come up over your head today. The ones of you that have been sealed to the day of redemption by your faith in Jesus Christ, and the unbelief that may be in here, if we had the red light to come over people's head that was having doubts and fears that was saved, it'd be an amazement today of how many red lights would come on over their head. Now, if we had a light to come on over people that have never been truly born again because of their unbelief, they want to try to say, well, I did go to the church, I've helped, I've done this, I've done a lot of good deeds, but then they've never been born again. Now, see, that's the key. That's where a lot of times we get crisscrossed up on saying you can lose your salvation. It ain't that nobody lost it. They never had it to start with. That's why the evidence in their life is no fruits. There's no fruit, just like the wheat amongst the tares, and the tares that amongst the wheat. So see, here we have no results. And what I want you to look at is why. It's because of the unbelief, the faithlessness. Because right here, as we see in Samaria, in Luke 9 and 51, it says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up to the steadfast, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And when the messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of Samaritans to make ready. So they went ahead to make ready for a meeting, Brother Matt, maybe a tent meeting, they might say. They was going to get people to go out. The disciples was going, hey, Jesus is coming. We're going to have a big meeting here. We're going to have some preaching and singing and all this, prayer meeting. And that's what they was going out ahead to do. And it says, and they did not receive him. They did not, Matt. So when you went to Florida and we didn't have sometimes, you know, the disciples had the same problem. The disciples went out. They had the power of God on them. And the thing is we got to look back, and for sake of time, in John 4, you know there was a time when Jesus said, I must go through Samaria. Well, this is what the disciples said. Hey, we'll go around it. We'll meet you on the other end. We're going to go over here to the steakhouse. We're going to go get us something to eat. You go on through there because that's where the scum of the earth is. That's where the outsiders, the outcast. That's what you call having a bad spirit. That's what you call having a bad spirit. You look down your Pharisaic, look down your Pharisaic nose at people and say, oh, we would like to have our church full, but not of that crowd. We'd like to have this church overflowing, but we want people that dress in suits. We want people to dress nicely. So they didn't even want the mud to get on their sandals and carry it out of Samaria with them. So they went around. And Jesus went through. He said, I must go through. Why? Because Jesus is a friend of sinners. He goes to the uttermost and to the uttermost. That's what he is. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. So he went. There was a woman there. Been married 5 times. And the man that she was with at that time was not her husband. She was the outcast amongst the outcast. But he went because he must. He went and sat on there and talked to her. And we'll just go ahead. She was born again. She was made whole. She believed with her belief. Well, now then you got, here comes the disciples coming around. And they've been to the steakhouse, and they've got plenty of leftovers, and they're worried about Jesus. Here, Jesus, you need to eat. He said, I have meat to eat of you know not of. Son, he had manna from above, and that's what he came to give. And see, those disciples could have had the same thing if they had followed Jesus. But they had to go off a little bit, and as you might say, like us, if we'll follow Jesus, that's where the power comes from. That's when you get sick, and you're doubting, and you're thinking, oh, God, I've got cancer. Oh, God, I've got a liver disease. Lord, my kids are sick. Lord, we're in a financial strain. Lord, it don't look good. I lost my job. Well, that's why that he cannot do nothing with you because of your lack of faith. You have to, I told you, it's impossible to please him without faith. And not only do you have to have faith, but you have to have him for the healing. Thy faith is what makes thee whole. I said it before. So there again, we have a church. And now we have this church, and And a lot of times people wonder, and I know that there's just different, this is just some of the reasons that there is. This ain't all of them. I'm going over a few. That there, while there is no result. But that, I would say that's the biggest, because you know unless someone's by faith is extended to them and they take that faith from Jesus and believe, then they can't be saved. So after you're saved, why should it work any else? Why would it work any different else? Why would you be able to have victory over the devil and the flesh without faith in God, without looking down the road and believing the word of God, standing on the promises of God, and knowing that it's true by that faith that you can't even see it, but bless God, I believe it, you say. I believe it. I believe that you came in, and when I was born again, I believe that spirit came in, quickened my soul. I didn't see it come down like a Casper the Ghost, but it came into me when I was born again and saved because I accepted Christ. I like receiving someone. When I went to my wife and I got down, and even believe it or not, I got down on one knee and I said, "Christy, would you marry me?" Now she had to either accept, which is receive, or reject. And that's the way that we receive Jesus, is by faith, believing. The same way you say, she said, "I will," we have to say, "God, I believe I will take you. I'll take you by faith that you died on the cross and didn't see you. I take you, Lord." And not only do we take that, and we're good to give him with our soul, but we don't want to give him our pocketbook. We don't want to give him our lives and let him be the Lord over us. And that's where it gets confusing right there, is your walk gets weak. You doubt because you get weak. And the disciples lost their power with God because they was faithless. Because you go on down in the scripture and he said, O faithless and perverse generation, in 41 of Luke 9. "How long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither." See, it was that lack of faith, the powerless of the disciple at that time. And I'm telling you, friend, Brother Dan, you've been through a trying time. Kay was went through the storms. Many in here has. Crowder family, a bunch of you. Darren lost a brother. I tell you, your faith in Christ and the promises of God, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for the saved by grace, and that we shall meet again. There's a glad reunion day. And the old song is, "The best is yet to come when I walk through heaven's gate. Oh, the first time I see Jesus, I can hardly wait." Now see, we got to stand on that song. And now, when you get sick, and some sicknesses are simple. You go and you say they got the flu, you got strep throat. You understand that you'll get better. You understand there's a chance that they'll give you some flu medicine, or you'll take the common cold medicine and you'll feel better eventually. But now when they tell you you have a life-threatening disease, is he not the same God over the flu as he is cancer? Is anything too big for God that he cannot do? But see, we're bad. And it ain't God's fault. The old saying is, it ain't if God will, it's we won't. That's the key. It ain't if God will. He says all things are possible with God. He says it's all, you know, all you must do is believe and all things are possible. And I'll be the first to tell you, I preach this message, but I've been through that. I've been in the valley. But you know the valley is where all the topsoil is. You get in the valley and that's where you can drill a well and hit water pretty quick. You can get in the valley and that's where all the good dirt is to make what? Stuff grow. Now you grow in those valleys, but you can choose. You can make your own decision in the valley whether to grow or to shrink. It's up to you, because Jesus wants to do something in your life. Just like right here in the scripture, the unbelief. You know that Jesus wants to do something at Bethel Missionary Baptist Church today? Did you know that he wants to do something great in here and work his marvelous works? But there'll be people sitting in here saying, with a bad spirit, "We shouldn't have gave that preacher that raise. He don't deserve it." There'll be people here looking down saying, "Do you see what she has on? Yeah, but I bet she got it at the thrift store. I know her. She won't pay full price. Look at his suit. Yeah, but he got it gave to him. I guarantee you that. He wouldn't want to buy it. It's too tight." And then you got all this other bad spirits. And see, right here is what I want to get at. Look here. When it says there were no results and there was no one accepted him, and but the faithlessness, it is our lack of faith that hinders the work of Christ. Because whenever I go out to witness and knock on a door, Brother Matt, when you go, and if I go in the name of Brent Duncan, I just want to go home. But just like David, he went in the name of the Lord. faith, believing that I, like someone said earlier, we don't ever stand alone up here. As he prayed, he said, the preacher prayed a while ago, that I'm not standing alone up here. And when I go out to witness to people, and you go out to St. Donnie and the Edwardses, you don't go alone. God has prepared the way. And no one stands alone. Christ stands with you. I feel him. He's here today. He's standing with me. If it wasn't for him, I'd get up here and fall off this thing and he ends up rolling around this wheelbarrow and bury me over yonder. But by Christ, I can do all things. And I ain't, like I said, he called me to preach. I didn't call myself to preach. And I'll tell you, you know, I believe that he calls men still today. And there'll be a lot of you young fellas in here. There's a lot of you young boys. And you better listen. You better be in that word, and you better, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. The more you know about that book, the better off you're going to be. That's our roadmap. A lot of people says today, well, I just don't hear him. And that's why they're not, their faith's little. They're like, oh, I don't know where to go. I don't know what direction. And Brother Darren said it many times, and you got to open his mouth. He's speaking every day. Right here's the word of God. Now, he does speak in you. He speaks to me, my subconscious, as you might say, the still small voice. But I tell you, God still wants to do a work. He's not blown the trumpet yet. And God still is looking to save souls. And God's still looking to give victory over diseases and over the hurting families with death in the families. He wants to give victory today, Brother Will. He says to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Now, see, that's the key. That's the part that's hard, is living by faith. And fear no alarm. That song, we sang it a lot, living by faith and fear no alarm. But I'm afraid as soon as the alarm goes off, we go, oh my Lord. But we sang living by faith, right? And it's by faith that we have to live. All right, in verse 46, real quick, in Luke 9. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. All right, see, and if you go back in Mark 9, He asked them, he said, boys, what were you talking about coming down the road? And he said, he knew, but he wanted to see what they had to say. And they said, well, then there arose a reasoning among them, amongst the disciples, which of them shall be greatest? My friend, it's not about you being in the limelight at church. Bless God, if you want to give a pew and donate a pew, you don't have to put your little brass tag on it with your name. Nobody needs to see what you do. Only God needs to know what's in your heart and what you're doing for Him. If you're going to go out and do these things, you don't have to brag about it. You don't have to put it on the window. Now, I know some people's got them. I've seen them. In memory of so-and-so. It's not about in memory of us. It's about Jesus and what He did. And see, a lot of people wants to say, can you believe that? Can you believe that He let Him preach today? He didn't get somebody else. He could have called somebody else. He should. And see, I could do the same. I could sit down here and say, I can't believe you let somebody preach besides me. He knows I'm the best. He knows I'm the best. I cannot believe he would do something like that. Now see, that right there will hinder the move of God as much as anything you can do, is have that pride in you. And they had it. They said, hey, which one of us is the greatest? Don't look like neither one of them was. They couldn't cast the devil out. Looks like to me they'd lost their power. They better get on their knees and ask God to give them the power of God back, what they better be doing, and quit worrying about who's the greatest amongst them. And you go on down here in verse 49. It says, and John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followeth not with us. He didn't go to where I went to Bible college. He didn't take Holy Ghost seminar classes. God, he can't be a witness unto them and them getting saved. They really can't be getting saved. I think it's a bunch of bull. I think he's just making them doubt their salvation. They really was born again, and he's just confirming it and saying, oh, I got them saved. I've heard it. No wonder a lot of places in churches nobody ain't getting saved. Because they think if it ain't therefore and no more, then they can't be real. If it ain't happened right here at Bethel, it didn't happen nowhere. And it goes the same way. You go to another church, if it didn't happen at our church, it didn't happen there. And if they see you at Walmart, and I'm like, he goes to the church of God. Ain't no way he can be winning souls. He's of another denomination. He's Presbyterian, man. No. But he's still telling them it's the blood of Jesus that saves the lost. It's about his message. It's what he's telling in that. But see, John, here he was, lifted up with that jealousy and pride. And you know what was going on? The old boy that John seen casting out the devils and healing the sick was doing what he ought to be doing. And he was doing what he used to could do. And this old boy here had the power of God on him evidently, Ronnie, because he was a working. But see, here he was. He'd been following Jesus closely. He had his big nice suit on. This gentleman over here was in, you know, like John the Baptist. He might have had bushy hair a little bit and hadn't been well manicured and groomed. But he was still winning the lost. He was still casting out devils. But, oh, no, that can't be right because he's not been to the so-and-so Bible Baptist Institute. Oh, no, he's not been to coming to our normal prayer meeting. Jesus, he's not been following the way that we go. He can't be right. So, see, it's just like Apostle Paul. He got knocked off his high horse, didn't he? Literally. Then he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Now, we've got to come off our high horse. We've got to get down and get busy on God's level. We've got to humble ourselves and seek his face. Now, if you're today dealing with doubt, whether it's doubt of salvation, and only you and God can work that out, I'd be willing to pray with anybody and go through the scriptures and see. But only you and God can work that out, and it's that grace. It's nothing you can earn and work for. Now, if you're struggling here this morning, and you're saying, I'm facing a battle, I'm facing a storm, I'm going to tell you, it's thy faith that'll see you through it. It's the faith that believing the Word of God. You know, over in Ephesians, in closing, in Ephesians 6:16 says that we must put on the shield of faith. The shield of faith. And that'd be that's our certainty, is that shield of faith. That certainty that even though I don't see tomorrow, even though I don't know what this may do to me, but by faith I believe that all things work to good unto those that love the Lord. Now, do you love the Lord? You got to ask yourself that. Do I love him? What have I been doing in my life to show him that I love him? Now, where am I at, maybe you might say, on a temperature? Where is my temperature level in my walk with Christ? Where is my faith? Am I counting on insurance, or do I have blessed assurance? Am I looking to my IRA, which probably now has went down to nothing? And all these things that we've looked at it before, are we trusting in what we've got or what God is going to do for us? Now, that's the key, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. And there's nothing that my God can't do, a little children's song. And I do believe it. Do you believe it by faith that there's nothing that God cannot do? He can save the one that's as sin sick as they come. He can heal the one that's as sick as they come. Cancer is no different for him to do this than the common cold. What's the difference? It's all pea ain't size to him. But the thing is, we have to have this shield of faith. Because, see, Satan looks at you. He cannot read your mind. He can watch your actions. And he hears you when you're down low and when you're downtrodden. And he'll jump on you immediately. And it says we must have this shield of faith to quench the fiery darts that Satan's going to shoot at us, the enemy, the fiery dart. That was a wooden shield with a leather covering. See, Apostle Paul, you got to remember when he was going through this time writing this and this stuff, pinning it down, he was chained to a Roman soldier. And he's seen all this, and I ain't got time to go through the whole armor of God. But it says the shield of faith. What we must do, we must starve our doubts and feed our faith. I done said it. It come by the hearing of the Word of God. Now, if you're struggling today, I don't know the very need. You're struggling with unbelief. You're struggling with doubt. Your faith has grown weak. But I'm telling you, every time your faith gets weak, we don't need to turn to the weak and beggarly elements of ourselves. We need to turn to Jesus. And if some of these young boys that are growing up, hey, you don't know, God may call you to preach the gospel. I don't have a clue. I didn't think I would ever be called to preach. But I tell you, you need to be ready. Be strong in the Lord. And you don't know when the trial may be coming. And I'd ask you this morning, if you're facing a trial, hey, God's able. He can strengthen your faith. He's the only one that can strengthen is if we look to him. But you know, you may say, Brent, I'm in good shape. I'm in good shape. I'm not doubting. But I want to make sure that I keep that shield of faith. And I've got it ready at all times, because we never know when Satan's going to launch one of his fiery darts. And if that fiery dart was to hit you in a vital area, it could be death. Because it says in Romans 8 in verse 6, it says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is a life of peace and hope. Now see, if we're spiritually minded and we're living by faith, Satan has to flee. We can resist the devil and he must flee. How do you resist him? By pleading the blood of Jesus, by quoting scripture back to him. This is our sword of the Spirit. And we take this sword out and do battle every day. And that faith is one of our main things, because it takes believing faith to be saved, and it takes faith to make you whole. It takes faith to heal the sick, to open the blinded eyes. It takes faith in all things.